Chapter 8. 4. I dined today at Kensington, with Addison, Steele, etc., came home, and writ a short letter to the Archbishop of Dublin, to let him know the Queen has granted the thing, etc. I writ in the coffee house, for I stayed at Kensington till 9, and am plague I weary, for Colonel Proud, 13, was very ill company, and I will never be of a party with him again. And I drank punch, and that and ill company has made me hot. 5. I was with Mr. Harley from dinner to 7 this night, and went to the coffee house, where Dr. Davenant, 14, would fain have had me gone and drink a bottle of wine at his house hard by, with Dr. Chamberlain, 15, but the puppy used so many words, that I was afraid of his company. And though we promised to come at 8, I sent a messenger to him, that Chamberlain was going to a patient, and therefore we would put it off till another time. So he, and the controller, 16, and I, were prevailed on by Sir Matthew Dudley, to go to his house, where I stayed till 12, and left them. Davenant has been teasing me to look over some of his writings, that he is going to publish. But the rogue is so fond of his own productions, that I hear he will not part with a syllable, and he has lately put out a foolish pamphlet, called The Third Part of Tom Double, to make his court to the Tories, whom he had left. 6. I was today gambling, 17, in the city to see Patty Rolt, who is going to Kingston, where she lodges, but, to say the truth, I had a mind for a walk to exercise myself, and happened to be disengaged. For dinners are 10 times more plentiful with me here than ever, or than in Dublin. I won't answer your letter yet, because I am busy. I hope to send this, before I have another from M.D. It would be a sad thing, to answer two letters together, as M.D. does from Presto. But when the two sides are full, away the letter shall go, that is certain, like it or not like it. And that will be about 3 days hence, for the answering night will be a long one. 7. I dined today at Sir Richard Temple's, with Congreve, Vanbrugh, Lieutenant General Farrington, 18, etc. Vanbrugh, I believe I told you, had a long quarrel with me about those verses on his house. 19, but we were very civil and cold. Lady Marlborough used to tease him with them, which had made him angry, though he be a good-natured fellow. It was a Thanksgiving day, 20, and I was at court, where the Queen passed us by with all Tories about her, not one Whig. Buckingham, 21, Rochester, 22, Leeds, 23, Shrewsbury, Berkeley of Stratton, Lord Keeper Harcourt, Mr. Harley, Lord Pembroke, etc., semicolon, and I have seen her without one Tory. The Queen made me a curtsy, and said, in a sort of familiar way to Presto, how does M.D.? I considered she was a queen, and so excused her. 24, I do not miss the Whigs at court, but have as many acquaintance there as formerly. 8. Here's a do and a clutter. I must now answer M.D.'s 5th, but first you must know I dined at the Portugal Envoy's, 25, today, with Addison, Vanbrugh, Admiral Wager, 26, Sir Richard Temple, 27, Methuen, 28, etc. I was weary of their company, and stole away at 5, and came home like a good boy, and studied till 10, and had a fire, and now I'm in bed. I have no fireplace in my bedchamber, but 'tis very warm weather when one's in bed. Your fine cap, 29, Madam Dingley, is too little, and too hot. I will have that fur taken off. I wish it were far enough, and my old velvet cap is good for nothing. Is it velvet under the fur? I was feeling, but cannot find. If it be, 'twill do without it else I will face it, but then I must buy new velvet. But maybe I may beg a piece. What shall I do? Well, now to Rogue M.D.'s letter. God be thanked for Stella's eyes mending, and God send it holds, but faith you writ too much at a time. Better write less, or write it at 10 times. Yes, faith, a long letter in a morning from a dear friend is a dear thing. I smoke a compliment, little mischievous girls, I do so. But who are those Whigs that think I am turned Tory? Do you mean Whigs? Which Whigs and what do you mean? I know nothing of Raymond, and only had one letter from him a little after I came here.
Pray remember Morgan.
Raymond is indeed like to have much influence over me in London, and to share much of my conversation. I shall, no doubt, introduce him to Harley, and Lord Keeper, and the Secretary of State. The tattler upon the Thuriel Spear 30 is not mine, madam. What a puzzle there is betwixt you and your judgment. In general you may be sometimes sure of things, as that about style,
31,
because it is what I have frequently spoken of. But guessing is my nay, and I defy mankind, if I please. Why, I writ a pamphlet, when I was last in London, that you and 1,000 have seen, and never guessed it to be mine. Could you have guessed the hour in town to be mine? How chance you did not see that before your last letter went, but I suppose you in Ireland did not think it worth mentioning. Nor am I suspected for the lampoon, only Harley said he smoked me.
Have I told you so before?
And some others knew it. 'Tis called the Rod of Sid Hammett. And I have written several other things that I hear commended, and nobody suspects me for them, nor you shall not know till I see you again. What do you mean, that board's near me, that I dine with now and then? I know no such person. I do not dine with boarders. What the pox? You know whom I have dined with every day, since I left you, better than I do. What do you mean, sir?
Slits, my ailment has been over these 2 months almost.
Impudence, if you vex me, I will give 10 shillings a week for my lodging, for I am almost stk out of this with the sink, and it helps me 2 verses in my power.
32,
well, Madam Dingley, what say you to the world to come?
What ballad?
Why go look, it was not good for much. Have patience till I come back. Patience is a gay thing as, etc. I hear nothing of Lord Mountjoy's coming for Ireland. When is Stella's birthday?
In March?
Lord bless me, my turn at Christchurch.
33,
it is so natural to hear you write about that. I believe you have done it 100 times. It is as fresh in my mind, the verger coming to you. And why to you? Would he have you preach for me?
Oh, pox on your spelling of Latin, Jansoni Basak, that is the way.
How did the dean get that name by the end? 'Twas you betrayed me.
Not I, faith.
I'll not break his head. Your mother is still in the country, I suppose, for she promised to see me when she came to town. I writ to her 4 days ago, to desire her to break it to Lady Gifford, to put some money for you in the bank, which was then fallen 30%. Would to God mine had been here, I should have gained £100, and got as good interest as in Ireland, and much secure. I would fain have borrowed £300, but money is so scarce here, there is no borrowing, by this fall of stocks. 'Tis rising now, and I knew it would. It fell from 129 to 96. I have not heard, since from your mother. Do you think I would be so unkind not to see her, that you desire me in a style so melancholy?
Mrs. Raymond, 34,
you say, is with child. I am sorry for it. And so is, I believe, her husband. Mr. Harley speaks all the kind things to me in the world, and, I believe, would serve me, if I were to stay here. But I reckon in time the Duke of Ormond may give me some addition to Lyriker. Why should the Whigs think I came to England to leave them? Sure my journey was no secret. I protest sincerely, I did all I could to hinder it, as the Dean can tell you, although now I do not repent it. But who the devil cares what they think? Am I under obligations, in the least to any of them all?
Rot 'em, for ungrateful dogs. I will make them repent their usage, before I leave this place.
They say here the same thing of my leaving the Whigs, but they own they cannot blame me, considering the treatment I have had. I will take care of your spectacles, as I told you before, and of the Bishop of Killala's, but I will not write to him, I have not time.
What do you mean by my 4th, Madam Dingleybus?
Does not Stella say you have had my 5th, Goody Blunder?
You frightened me till I looked back. Well, this is enough for one night. Pray give my humble service to Mrs. Stoyt and her sister. Kate, is it, or Sarah?
35.
I have forgot her name, Faith. I think I will even.
And to Mrs. Walls and the Archdeacon.
Send this tomorrow. No, Faith, that will be in 10 days from the last. I will keep it till Saturday, though I write no more. But what if a letter from M.D. should come in the meantime? Why then I would only say, Madam, I have received your 6th letter, your most humble servant to command, presto, and so conclude. Well, now I will write and think a little, and so to bed, and dream of M.D. 9. I have my mouth full of water, and was going to spit it out, because I reasoned with myself, how could I write when my mouth was full? Had you done things like that, reasoned wrong at first thinking? Well, I was to see Mr. Lewis this morning, and am to dine a few days hence, as he tells me, with Mr. Secretary St. John, and I must contrive to see Harley soon again, to hasten this business from the Queen. I dined today at Lord Mountrath's,
36,
with Lord Mountjoy,
37,
etc., semicolon, but the wine was not good. So I came away, stayed at the coffee house till 7, then came home to my fire, the maidenhead of my 2nd half bushel, and am now in bed at 11, as usual. 'Tis mighty warm, yet I fear I should catch cold this wet weather if I sat an evening in my room, after coming from warm places. And I must make much of myself, because M.D. is not here to take care of presto, and I am full of business, writing, etc., and do not care for the coffee house. And so this serves for all together, not to tell it you over and over, as silly people do. But presto is a wiser man, Faith, than so, let me tell you, gentlewomen. See, I am got to the 3rd side. But, Faith, I will not do that often. But I must say something early today, till the letter is done, and on Saturday it shall go. So I must leave something till tomorrow and next day. 10. O Lord, I would this letter was with you with all my heart. If it should miscarry, what a deal would be lost. I forgot to leave a gap in the last line, but one for the seal, like a puppy. But I should have allowed for night, good night. But when I am taking leave, I cannot leave a bit, Faith. But I fancy the seal will not come there. I dined today at Lady Lucy's, where they ran down my hour, and said, Cid Hamet was the silliest poem they ever read, and told Prior so, whom they thought to be author of it. Don't you wonder I never dined there before? But I am too busy, and they live too far off, and, besides, I do not like women, so much as I did. M.D., you must know, are not women. I supped tonight at Addison's, with Garth, Steele, and Mr. Dopping, and am come home late. Lewis has sent to me to desire I will dine with some company I shall like. I suppose it is Mr. Secretary St. John's appointment. I had a letter just now from Raymond, who is at Bristol, and says he will be at London in a fortnight, and leave his wife behind him, and desires any lodging in the house where I am. But that must not be. I shall not know what to do with him in town. To be sure, I will not present him to any acquaintance of mine, and he will live a delicate life, a parson and a perfect stranger. Past 12 o'clock,
38,
and so good night, etc. Oh, but I forgot, Jemmy Lee is come to town, says he has brought Dingley's things, and will send them with the first convenience. My parcel, I hear, is not sent yet. He thinks of going for Ireland in a month, etc. I cannot write tomorrow, because what? Because of the Archbishop. Because I will seal my letter early. Because I am engaged from noon till night. Because of many kind of things. And yet I will write one or two words tomorrow morning, to keep up my journal constant, and at night I will begin my 9th. 11. Morning by candlelight. You must know that I am in my nightgown every morning between 6 and 7, and Patrick is forced to ply me 50 times, before I can get on my nightgown. And so now I will take my leave of my own dear MD for this letter, and begin my next, when I come home at night. God Almighty bless and protect dearest MD. Farewell, etc. This letter's as long as a sermon, faith. Letter 9. London, November 11, 1710. I dined today, by invitation, with the Secretary of State, Mr. St. John. Mr. Harley came in to us before dinner, and made me his excuses for not dining with us, because he was to receive people who came to propose advancing money to the government. There dined with us only Mr. Lewis, and Dr. Freind.
1. That writ or Peterborough's actions in Spain.
I stayed with them till just now between 10 and 11, and was forced again to give my 8th to the bellman, which I did with my own hands, rather than keep it till next post. The secretary used me with all the kindness in the world. Prior came in after dinner, and, upon an occasion, he,
the secretary,
said, "The best thing I ever read is not yours, but Dr. Swift's on Vanbrugh, which I do not reckon so very good neither."
2.
But Prior was damped, until I stuffed him with 2 or 3 compliments. I am thinking what a veneration we used to have for Sir William Temple, because he might have been Secretary of State at 50, and here is a young fellow, hardly 30, in that employment.
3.
His father is a man of pleasure.
4.
That walks the mall, and frequents St. James Coffee House, and the chocolate houses, and the young son is Principal Secretary of State. Is there not something very odd in that? He told me, among other things, that Mr. Harley complained he could keep nothing from me. I had the way, so much of getting into him. I knew that was a refinement, and so I told him, and it was so. Indeed, it is hard to see these great men use me like one who was their betters, and the puppies with you in Ireland hardly regarding me. But there are some reasons for all this, which I will tell you when we meet. At coming home, I saw a letter from your mother, in answer to one I sent her 2 days ago. It seems she is in town, but cannot come out in a morning, just as you said, and God knows when I shall be at leisure in an afternoon. For if I should send her a penny post letter, and afterwards not be able to meet her, it would vex me, and, besides, the days are short, and why she cannot come early in a morning, before she is wanted, I cannot imagine. I will desire her to let Lady Gifford know that she hears I am in town, and that she would go to see me, to inquire after you. I wonder she will confine herself so much to that old beast's humor. You know I cannot in honor see Lady Gifford, and consequently not go into her house. This, I think, is enough for the first time.
12.
And how could you write with such thin paper?
I forgot to say this in my former.
Cannot you get thicker? Why, that's a common caution that writing masters give their scholars. You must have heard it 100 times. 'Tis this. If paper be thin, ink will slip in. But, if it be thick, you may write with a stick.
5.
I had a letter today from poor Mrs. Long.
6.
Giving me an account of her present life, obscure in a remote country town, and how easy she is under it. Poor creature! 'Tis just such an alteration in life, as if presto should be banished from M.D., and condemned to converse with Mrs. Raymond. I dined today with Ford, Sir Richard Levinch,
7,
etc., at a place where they board, hard by. I was lazy, and not very well, sitting so long with company yesterday. I have been very busy writing this evening at home, and had a fire. I am spending my second half bushel of coals, and now am in bed, and 'tis late.
13.
I dined today in the city, and then went to christen Will Frankland's
8th
child, and Lady Falconbridge,
9,
was one of the godmothers. This is a daughter of Oliver Cromwell, and extremely like him by his pictures, that I have seen. I stayed till almost 11, and am now come home and gone to bed. My business in the city was to thank Stratford for a kindness he has done me, which now I will tell you. I found bank stock was fallen 34 in the 100, and was mighty desirous to buy it, but I was a little too late for the cheapest time, being hindered by business here, for I was so wise to guess to a day when it would fall. My project was this. I had £300 in Ireland, and so I writ to Mr. Stratford in the city, to desire he would buy me £300 in bank stock, and that he should keep the papers, and that I would be bound to pay him for them, and, if it should rise or fall, I would take my chance, and pay him interest in the meantime. I showed my letter to one or two people who understand those things, and they said money was so hard to be got here that no man would do it for me. However, Stratford, who is the most generous man alive, has done it. But it costs £100 and a half, that is, 10 shillings, so that £300 cost me £300.30. This was done about a week ago, and I can have £5 for my bargain already. Before it fell, it was £130, and we are sure it will be the same again. I told you I writ to your mother, to desire that Lady Gifford would do the same with what she owes you, but she tells your mother as he has no money. I would to God all you had in the world was there. Whenever you lend money, take this rule, to have two people bound, who have both visible fortunes, for they will hardly die together, and, when one dies, you fall upon the other, and make him add another security. And if Rathburn, now I have his name, pays you in your money, let me know, and I will direct Parvisel accordingly. However, he shall wait on you and know. So, ladies, enough of business for one night. Pious 12 o'clock. I must only add, that, after a long fit of rainy weather, it has been fair 2 or 3 days, and is this day grown cold and frosty, so that you must give poor little Presto leave to have a fire in his chamber morning and evening too, and he will do as much for you. 14. What, has your Chancellor, 10, lost his senses, like Will Crow? 11. I forgot to tell Dingley that I was yesterday at Ludgate, bespeaking the spectacles at the great shop there, and shall have them in a day or two. This has been an insipid day. I dined with Mrs. Van Homry, and came gravely home, after just visiting the coffee house. Sir Richard Cox, 12, they say, is sure of going over Lord Chancellor, who is as errant a puppy as ever ate bread. But the Duke of Ormond has a natural affection to puppies, which is a thousand pities, being none himself. I have been amusing myself at home till now, and in bed bid you good night. 15. I have been visiting this morning, but nobody was at home, Secretary St. John, Sir Thomas Hanmer, 13, Sir Chancellor Coxcomb, etc. I attended the Duke of Ormond with about 50 other Irish gentlemen at Skinner's Hall, where the Londonderry Society laid out £300 to treat us, and His Grace with a dinner. 3 great tables with the dessert laid in mighty figure. Sir Richard Levenge and I got discreetly to the head of the second table, to avoid the crowd at the first. But it was so cold, and so confounded a noise with the trumpets and hautboys, that I grew weary, and stole away before the second course came on, so I can give you no account of it, which is a thousand pities. I called at Ludgate for Dingley's glasses, and shall have them in a day or two, and I doubt it will cost me 30 shillings for a microscope, but not without Stella's permission, for I remember she is a virtuoso. Shall I buy it or no? 'Tis not the great bulky ones, nor the common little ones, to impale a louse, saving your presence, upon a needle's point, but of a more exact sort, and clearer to the sight, with all its equipage in a little trunk, that you may carry in your pocket. Tell me, sir, shall I buy it or not for you? I came home straight, etc. 16. I dined today in the city with Mr. Manley, 14, who invited Mr. Addison and me, and some other friends, to his lodging, and entertained us very handsomely. I returned with Mr. Addison, and loitered till 9 in the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.